DCMDVA, greetings and salutations. What's up? Danny Ruggier hanging out with you on Grant and Danny, no GP. We will actually talk. We will speak live to Grant Harrison Paulson from the great state of Texas. He is down there for All-Star festivities. We'll have him on the show at 5 o'clock. And at the same time, it's a double action segment. We're going to give you a chance at that time to win Fuji's tickets. So that'll be a hoot. No game today, just you're going to call us. If you're the right caller, you'll win those tickets to see the Fugees. You've heard the news that broke, well, maybe 90 minutes ago, give or take, right? The Brandon Ayuk has demanded a trade, the latest in the As the World Turns saga between he and the San Francisco 49ers. You've had someone in the front office in San Francisco get their word out via Adam Schefter, who in a very Adam Schefter-y kind of way said, San Francisco has no interest at this time in trading Brandon Ayuk. Several players in the past have demanded trades, and they're still 49ers. So we're at an impasse, kind of, but this is as escalated as Ayuk can make it. Again, time is against him. The shot clock is against him. The current CBA, contract leverage, all against Ayuk. So his goal, I still think, is the same, to get paid, to get that premium amount and not have to play on a franchise tag or whatever. He wants to secure the big payday, which I totally understand. It's not in San Francisco's best interest to do that at this point. They've got not that much room. They've got a huge salary outlay that's coming next year probably to Brock Purdy because they've got a quarterback who's at least good enough in Kyle Shanahan's system for them to win an awful lot of games. And they've got Ayuk basically for about $28 million, $29 million over the next 2 years with a Super Bowl window. So I get it. I get how everybody's at an impasse. How does this affect us? We'll get to that here in a second. Want to start super quick. Boys in the booth here, Ryan, Darius are both here. Home Run Derby last night was fine. A little too long. Even with the new streamline changes to, you know, to go for 3 minutes and you know, the limited number of pitches, so guys don't have time to take a whole bunch. It still took 3 hours, which just feels like a little bit too long, but in general, I thought the format was fine. We didn't have that signature memorable moment. I always refer to that Josh Hamilton time in Yankee Stadium. He didn't win the Home Run Derby, but that's all anyone remembers from that year, was that electric round. There were a couple fun moments, right, where Bobby Witt was trying to rally, down to his last swing, hit that 426-foot home run to get himself another out. There were some cool moments last night overall, but I thought kind of a C grade. Nothing wrong with it, but nothing great.
Yeah, that was kind of my takeaway as well. There wasn't really like a signature moment, and even if there was, like the signature moment was probably the swing off from Teoscar Hernandez and Alec Boehm to get to the finals to face Bobby Witt. But other than that, like, there just wasn't really any main takeaway. Like, it was kind of a relatively boring home run derby. There weren't any crazy home run shots or crazy exit velocities. So it was just fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so I think what happened, and of course my pick was out in the first round. Just the special Danny Ruggier curse, right? I like Pete Alonso. Fart noise gone immediately. The prohibitive favorite, by the way. And it's not like I was like doing some kind of weird, obscure thing. But I'm so terrible at that, picking things that are going to happen. But I think not having his presence, because he's so good, you know, as a big, strong, huge dude, doesn't have to do max effort. So you think maybe a little bit less tired, could have sustained himself a little bit longer and, you know, put up one of those incredible rounds, but wasn't meant to be. Again, thought it was fine. Nothing wrong with it. Good summer television. So I was able to watch that and a couple more episodes of Receiver and Sprint and all the good content that's going on. So that was that. Let's get to right now. So Mike Garofolo reports that Brandon Ayuk would like a trade. Moments later, as I referenced, Adam Schefter did the kind of, well, the organization has something to say about that. Sources, this is what Schefter tweets. Other teams have reached out and spoken to San Francisco, have been told that the 49ers have no intention of trading disgruntled wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, who has officially requested a trade. 49ers open training camp next week. So I don't know. It's obviously newsworthy. I'm not telling you it's not. We're going to spend a lot of time on this today. It's another reminder. It's a window to get into Washington. I'll tell you how in a second. But this is the last best effort from Ayuk and his camp, as I said, to get what they want. Either, well, it's not either. He wants that big contract. If it's with San Francisco, all the better. If it's with someone else, that's fine too. But that's what he would like. He would like to get his turn in line. And I don't want to say skip the queue because he sees what happens. You see what happens to guys like T. Higgins, right? They couldn't come to a deal. He's got to play on the franchise tag. Guys don't want to do that. Stuff happens, man. You know, I understand in a violent, collision-based sport like this one, where your career could be altered on any given play, and especially what happens in San Francisco, those guys have to block. Those guys have to be physical. And Ayuk and both Deebo Samuel both are physical, punishing type receivers. So you're going to take on more contact. You're not just a, you know, a DeSean Jackson deep threat that's barely getting touched by anybody. And he was always hurt too. So I understand the goings-on here, what's happening. Guys don't want to play on the franchise tag. Guys want the respect. They want the contract, etc. And San Francisco is going, we have a Super Bowl caliber team. When the majority of our key players are healthy, we go to the NFC title game. We got upset once by the Eagles. The other years, we go to the Super Bowl, and we've lost there too. They are knocking on the door. They are excellent. They are the favorite to come out of the NFC, and they should be, right? They're really, really good. And Ayuk is a huge part of that. He's their more traditional number one receiver. Samuel's kind of this, you know, the elite version of the Swiss Army knife. He does a little bit of everything, and he'll have huge weeks. It always depends on the game plan, opportunity, etc. It might be out of the backfield. It might be in the slot. It might be on a reverse. It might be, you know, running around in the secondary like anyone else. But Ayuk is more traditional. He, to me, is that Michael Irvin-style receiver. Not like a relentless cheater who pushed off every single time he caught a pass and should have been called for offensive pass interference every single reception. Probably should have ended his career with 10 catches for 50 yards. But I digress. Ayuk has that physicality, the great hands, the just enough maybe kind of intermediate speed. Not the deep speed all the time, but he can still do it. He can do everything. I think he's awesome. And Grant and I have disagreed a little bit about where Brandon Ayuk ranks. And my point is, if he got a huge featured role on another offense, a decent one, I think he'd put up better numbers than a huge percentage of receivers in this league. So in other words, if he had the Tyreek Hill role in Miami, I don't think he'd be as good as Tyreek Hill. I don't think he'd be as good as Jefferson or Chase or, you know, maybe a handful of guys. I think he's at that. I think he's at that Devontae Adams level right now. I mean, I love Devontae Adams. I mean, Devontae Adams in a year where Derek Carr got benched and threw for, you know, 26 touchdowns. I think Adams had like 15 of them a couple seasons ago. I think Ayuk could do something like that if you put him with a Trevor Lawrence. You put him with, you know, God forbid, like a Pat Mahomes or something like that. I think Ayuk is a star whose career arc didn't begin immediately as stardom, so we don't think of him the right way. In other words, think of those rookie receivers. Ja'Marr Chase hits the ground running. Justin Jefferson is setting rookie records. So we think of those guys, rightfully so, by the way, as the best in the game, and they are. They're superstars. Ayuk didn't start out that way. So because he didn't begin at this immediate, you know, 1,300-yard, 10-touchdown rookie season, we don't think of him in the way that I think he deserves to be thought of. He has steadily improved every season. Last year was his best year, and I don't think he's done. I think he's got those kinds of years. A whole bunch of them, I think, quite frankly, in the cards or over the next 5-6 seasons. And so, why do I keep bringing up Brandon Ayuk? I know he requested the trade. You can't help but make connections to Washington. Both the friendship that he and Jaden Daniels share, I don't know if you guys have seen any documentation on that. I don't know if you guys have noticed any of that, but there's been plenty of it. Here is my contention, and here is where the smarter people than me, the better football people than me, I am not a football person. I'm just a pudgy radio guy with bags under his eyes, as you can see on the YouTube page, okay? YouTube.com. Check out Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. You'll find me and my stupid face looking right at you, camera. What's up, camera? All right? So, another publication, another national media outlet ranked Washington skill guys low. CBS has their triplets, 26. You think of the triplets, the famous ones, Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, right? That was kind of the original nickname there. A wide receiver one, running back one, quarterback one, right? Their triplets are ranked 25th, I think. 25th, 26th. ESPN ranked their weapons, wide receiver, running back, tight end, 26th. I think Pro Football Reference, Pro Football Focus, rather, has a similar ranking for them. This is the drum I've been doing this on all offseason. You don't have the weapons. You don't have them. They're trying to see if they've got something at left tackle. Drafted a guy in the third round without a ton of tackle experience. And a swing tackle. That's who they've got at that spot. Right tackle, you're kind of stuck with Andrew Wiley. I would have gone and done something. I would have overspent, but whatever. There wasn't much in the tackle market. I understand. Wide receiver, they think they're good. Somebody from the Diami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, Dax Milne, Mitchell Tinsley tier is going to step up, it seems like they think. They believe in a bounce back for Jahan Dotson. They think maybe they've got something Luke McCaffrey. And I hope they're right about all those things, by the way. But nobody else seems to think that, including me. Their rankings are so low in these deals. Now, if you're a relentless homer, you'd go, well, this front office is pretty smart. And I think they are, by the way. I think they've done a lot of stuff really, really well. I'm not just saying that to blow sunshine. But what I'm doing over here is calling balls and strikes. I think this is a ball. I think this is a miss. I think this is a huge miss, in fact. It's a giant miscalculation. This is a philosophical thing that I can't get around and I can't get past. We have seen too many quarterbacks go to bad teams and fail. And then in retrospect, doing the autopsy as to why, you go, well, they really didn't provide that guy with very much in retrospect. They didn't really do everything they could to help him. There wasn't the quarterback whisper in the room. There wasn't the great support staff. This group, by the way, I think has done that. They were able to keep Tavita Pritchard. They gone and got one of the guys that was instrumental in Jalen Hurts' development. And Brian Johnson, who's now got a lesser role than he had in Philadelphia. You've got an offensive coordinator that's been around for some pretty good quarterbacking, right? Working with young guys. So they're trying to build the nest that way. Smart, correct, right thing to do. Awesome. The weaponry, I think they've made a pretty huge mistake. I think this is going to be the reason, if it doesn't, why it doesn't work. And I pray that I'm wrong. I hope Daniels is so good that he's able to overcome this. They're gambling and they're betting that what they've got is good enough. How sure are you? How sure are you? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, why not overkill? This is my point. This is not your normal team build. This is not your normal, hey, let's be smart, let's be judicious, let's be thrifty, let's be thoughtful, let's, you know, add some pieces, layer some talent, take a defensive tackle that won't play for me much this year, but next year he'll be really good. And here's a slot corner in the second round when we could have taken receivers, et cetera, et cetera. Not for me. Maximize and protect. Maximize and protect. None of the other stuff matters. Frankie Louvu doesn't matter. Whoever starts opposite Jeremy Chinn in their Cobra safety package, who's the third safety? Who's going to be the guy that's sometimes a slot corner? How does Quan Martin develop? Cute, adorable, precious, doesn't matter. Jaden Daniels matters. You have turned everybody's future over to Jaden Daniels. Rightfully so, by the way. It's what you should do. How could you not use the tools at your disposal? It's the only thing that Rivera and the Martys did right, was leave this cupboard pretty empty without a bunch of clutter in it. You turned over the roster already, recognizing how untalented they were in a lot of spots. I cannot believe they aren't so desperate to enhance and do everything possible to help Jaden Daniels. Now, again, part of this, as Schefter's reporting, maybe that San Francisco doesn't want to trade Brandon Ayuk. That's fine. My point is, where are you on the Keenan Allen deal? Where are you when receivers are changing teams? Maybe you don't want Stephon Diggs because he's got a tude that you don't like. Fine. He doesn't have that Commander's label or whatever the hell that thing is. Fine. Totally fine. Somebody, show me that you're desperate, man. Show me that you're desperate and you understand the urgency here to maximize, that's all the weapons, and protect, that's all the linemen. Maximize and protect. You tippy-toed. You went a little way down the line getting Austin Ekeler. Great. Awesome. Safety valve. Great in pass pro. I am a huge fan of that acquisition. That, to me, was their smartest and best offseason maneuver, was grabbing Austin Ekeler for next to nothing. Everybody's excited about, I think the defense will be appreciably a bit better. I think the defense will improve under Witt and Dan Quinn. Look at the linebacking upgrades. That's nice. That's all adorable. I don't care about that, and neither should you. If this team was supposed to win this year, if this team was a reigning division champ or had realistic aspirations of winning 11 games for the first time in more than 30 years, we could be talking about that. I got news, and I'm sorry about it. Here's the story, Jaden Daniels. Here's the next story, Jaden Daniels. And you got to go down 77,000 clicks. You keep sliding down with that mouse. Slide down, slide down, slide down, slide down before you get to a non-Jaden Daniels thing. Sorry. That's the story. How everybody does. If everyone's key card works in 3 years, it's Jaden Daniels. If Dan Quinn is successful here, Jaden Daniels. Joe Witt, Jaden Daniels. Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels. Everybody. It's all related to that quarterback. I'm sorry. It is. How could you not do everything possible? So here's what I'm going with to stat this radio program. Tweet me, at Funny Danny. Get your butts in the comment section on the YouTubes. Give us a phone call, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Here is how we're starting this radio program. I think they have to do this. I think Washington has left themselves very little choice. They should have been in on other guys. They weren't. If Ayuk is at all available, you have to get him. I think they have to do this. They don't seem to, and a lot of you don't seem to. You're doing a thing where you go, well, I know I'm homeless, but this house, and I've got some money, but this house is a little bit out of my price range. Got to be desperate, man. You've got to overpay. This is the position that you have. You are better off than a lot of teams right now. You can strike. I don't care about your slow build, 2-3 year plan. This is a break glass case. You have a rookie quarterback. Everything depends on him. How could you sleep at night with opportunities to make his weaponry and protection better? How? I'm hopeful Jahan Dotson bounces back and has a good season. I'm hopeful Luke McCaffrey's the thing. Hope don't fill up that fact bucket. Hope is nice. Hope is the very best of things. Morgan Freeman, Shawshank Redemption, Ryan has no file. I don't do hope. I do reality. I'm pragmatic. Do everything you possibly can, and they have not. No objective person could tell you they've done everything they possibly can to help that offense. Nobody could. There is nobody in their right mind who could say they've done everything possible. They've gone all out. There is no possible room to improve a single member of that offense. Tackle, receiver, otherwise. If you in your right mind can tell me they've done everything, I'll ask you to go home, go to ourlads.com, then pull up a separate window, do a little control T or a command T if you have a correct Mac, okay? Then go to SpotTrack. Go to the free agent list of guys that have been signed. Navigate there for NFL free agents. And you tell me with a straight face they've done everything they can. If you still can't come up with that, close out all your browsers, open them up again, and try it again. They haven't. They are betting on what they've got. That is not a bet I would make. They're making it, though. It would be great if I'm wrong and they're right. It would go such a long way to validating that this group really is smarter than everybody else. I see a dire need. They don't. They are smarter than me. I'm not making any kind of claim. All I see, calling balls and strikes over here, is a ball in the opposite batter's box. I see a glaring issue that I'm desperate to fill. I need them to do this. So here's my case. I'll say it succinctly. 800-636-1067. This Ayuk thing, they got to do it. They have to do it. I wouldn't have said that 3 months ago because I assumed they were going to do something. They didn't. They have to do this. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong. 800-636-1067. Your call is next on The Fan. I was thinking about this. What it would look like if I was wrong. Welcome back. Danny Ruye here. Grant and Danny on the Fan. No GP today. We'll check in with him at 5. Your chance to win Fuji's tickets at 5 o'clock as well. Here's what it looked like if I was wrong. Because my contention is they've now are to the point, there aren't that many options. Your local 53, Washington, they've got to go do something. And the something right now is Ayuk. Maybe he's available, maybe he's not, but I have to find out. I've got to win this bidding. If he really is indeed available, and it's not just a negotiating ploy by San Francisco, if they're tired of the headache, can't imagine they would be, but if they are, they've got to do it. They should have been doing this the whole offseason, and they weren't interested. Here's what it would look like if I was wrong. Tell me what you think of this. It would mean Jahan Dotson has to go for what? 800 yards? 5-6 touchdowns? Bonafide number two receiver? They're number three. Maybe it's a Luke McCaffrey. Probably has to do 450, 500 yards. You need pretty good production from Ertz or Sinnott. That tight end spot has to do what Logan Thomas did and maybe then some. That's for them to be correct. How many ifs was that? Wasn't that a lot? Wouldn't you rather have something so dependable, even if it costs you a little too much? That's kind of the point here. 800-636-1067. So I invite you. This is an open forum. We like to have discussions here on this radio program. You're allowed to agree. And you know what else you're allowed to do? You can disagree. You can tell me that I'm wrong and full of it. And I welcome that. 800-636-1067. I think they got to make a move. Tony, D.C., what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I have to say that you're wrong. I kind of disagree. I think we need to find out what we have in Jaden Daniels first. Because if we get Ayuk at $30 million for 4 or 5 years and then find out the quarterback's not good, then we tied into a lot of money into a wide receiver that doesn't have a quarterback. I think we should find out that we have a quarterback. Then we can now go get a wide receiver kind of similar to what Philly did when they found out that Jalen Hurts was a good quarterback. Then they went and got Antonio Brown.
Thank you, buddy. A.J. Brown. I know who you meant, though. So it's chicken or the egg. Should they have signed Terry McLaurin before they, quote-unquote, had a quarterback? To me, this is kind of my whole, the crux of it. Every once in a while, you get the guy that was so transcendent, such a superstar, so good that none of this matters. And we now think of these Houston Texans wide receivers as household names. Nobody was telling you Nico Collins is a superstar or Tank Dell was a superstar before they were. Now we think of them as excellent. That's because they got C.J. Stroud. They nailed it with C.J. Stroud. That happens. That's lightning in a bottle. That's once every dozen years or so. You could count them on one hand, Stroud, Herbert, a couple other guys. For everybody else, my point is when you go, let's see what we have, I want to really find out what we have. And I'm not going to not spend and see, can this quarterback overcome every obstacle I put in front of him? It's really hard to be a quarterback in the NFL. It's really hard. I'm going to try to make it as easy as possible. I'm going to build him, this person, this player, into that star where then Pat Mahomes can afford to lose Tyreek Hill and go right back to the Super Bowl. Where Justin Herbert can afford to lose Keenan Allen and hopefully be really good still. Where if I got Aaron Rodgers, I can let my excellent wide receiver walk or replace him with somebody else over the years, right? The Jordy Nelsons, Devontae Adams, whatever, and still get great production. You don't have that yet, or you know, I hope we do, but how could you count on that? My point is, I can't do another 2012. I can't do a 2012 season where Joshua Morgan is the number two receiver. Wrong. Don't do that. I can't do another Dwayne Haskins rest in peace situation where I've got a young Terry McLaurin, and that's it. That's worth a damn at that position, and just say, well, he didn't do it. I'd love to give him a chance. I'd love to give him the best possible chance at success. Too much rides on it. This isn't the number two overall pick that's a defensive end whose job is to rush the passer, where I've got to support him with three other defensive linemen, a great coordinator, two linebackers to cover in case he's mediocre against the run. No. This is the quarterback, man. That's my point. Garrett in Arlington. Good afternoon, man. You're on the Fan.
What's going on, Danny? How are you?
Good, pal. How are you?
I couldn't agree with you more, man. And I'm a Commanders guy. I was born and raised and have been a Ravens fan for a long time. And I hear your argument, and I can't help but make comparisons.
There's some parallels, right?
Done with Lamar Jackson for several years. It's parallel, man. Now, granted, Lamar was not a number two pick. But still, you look at, you know, 2018, you sort of, what, John Brown, Tylan Wallace, you know, a bunch of nobodies. They went out, they got Rashard Bateman, who was supposed to be a hot guy. He went down, and he was sort of like Willie Snead, right? A bunch of, you know, guys who filled in. And now he's got Zay Flowers. You know, Mark Andrews is great. But you see what happens to the Ravens in the playoffs when they figure out how to play a cover zero on him. They put a bunch of guys in the box. He's forced to throw. And they can't get past the Chiefs. They can't get past the Bills. You name it, what happens? They don't have a true number two receiver. They don't have anybody other than Zay Flowers, who, by the way, you know, isn't always the guy they can count on. So I could not agree with you more that you got to go all out, get a receiver, help your young quarterback develop in this league, get him some confidence, and put him off on the right path. I mean, you heard that caller from D.C. a minute ago say, hey, let's see what we have first, man. If you just sunk all this draft capital, all this time into putting someone like James Daniels in, you're not going to go all out to help him out. What are you doing?
That's where I'm at. Garrett, appreciate the phone call, buddy. The parallel, I think, is a really good one with Lamar Jackson. Not just because the quarterback comp, where you know, you've heard Daniels and Jackson comp. I don't know how great a comp that is, but you've heard it. Baltimore gets this, by the way. Now, they haven't been successful. This has been their Achilles heel, I would argue, for a long time. They can't get the receiver position right. In the year they drafted Rashad Bateman, some guy named Amon-Ra St. Brown went, you know, dozens of picks later. Like, so they've tried everything they could think of, and they can't evaluate receiver up there. Baltimore does a lot right. That ain't one of the things. They're terrible at receiver spots. How many DeMarcus Robinsons? How many Devin Duvernays? How many, you know, Rashad Batemans who Garrett just mentioned? They're trying because they see it. They see the need. And it feels like Washington doesn't. And that's my frustration here. Kevin in D.C. Good afternoon, man. You're on the Fan.
What's going on, Danny, man? I can't help it, but you're wrong again.
Tell me why.
We got Jahan Dotson, first rounder, who had a great rookie season. He had a sophomore slump. There's potential there. We just expended a third round pick on Luke McCaffrey, who by all accounts sounds like he's going to be great. Has already developed a rapport with Daniels. You give those guys a chance to shine. And I'm going to use your argument on the Texans to support mine, which is maybe Daniels can turn Dotson and McCaffrey into those household names. And most importantly, why give up draft capital? Why give up any capital for a guy who wants to be here? He'll be here next year. Let him figure it out. If he really wants to be a commander, we can have him be a commander next year, and we'll know where Jaden Daniels stands. We'll know where Jahan Dotson is and the rest of our wide receivers, and we'll take it from there. We don't have to give anything up for this guy. He wants to be here.
Kevin, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it. So here again, here's my contention. Here's my argument. You're just skipping ahead to another year. Counting on a C.J. Stroud lightning in a bottle moment ignores every other rookie quarterback. We're ignoring every, you know, for every C.J. Stroud, there's seven Mac Joneses. There's a dozen Bryce Young stories, right? Like, you can't just say, it'll work out, or maybe he turns him into that. I don't do maybe when it comes to this. Does that make sense? Again, it's a good call. I'm not ripping you. To me, it's just a different philosophical thing. I don't leave anything up to chance. Now, for McCaffrey, I like him plenty. He's a glorified fourth rounder. It's so-called third round because it's added to the end of the third round. But pick number 100, if you can do some math, 32 teams, 32 picks per round, times 3 is 96. So he's a glorified fourth rounder. But it's listed as third round because that's how the conditional pick type thing works. Okay? I don't do that. For every Terry McLaurin, there's 7,000 Dyami Browns where nothing ever happens and I have to hear a lot about the guy. I would love for McCaffrey to be good. Again, I would love for this team to be right, for this front office to be right, because it would mean that Daniels is thriving. I don't leave that up to chance, though. I don't leave it up to chance. Ayuk, who knows if he'll be here next year? He'll probably get franchise tagged, if I'm being honest. So you're 2 years away, then maybe we'll get him at that point, or we'll just get somebody else. I don't have time for that. This is this season. This is the one. This is the year. In 3 or 4 years, if C.J. Stroud continues on this trajectory, which I'm not doubting because what he showed his rookie year, you can make a tough decision and let a Tank Dell walk, or you can not extend Nico Collins, or whatever you want to do because you've got the dude. My point is, in order to achieve dude status, you've got to do everything possible and not just go, I hope it's just like C.J. Stroud, because nobody knew. No one knew it was going to be C.J. Stroud. No one. Casey in Kentucky. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Danny, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, I certainly appreciate that.
I am absolutely with you.
Okay, he's done. Now you go.
I am so tired of waiting. I've been a DC fan of all the sports teams for 30 years. I'm so sick of waiting. We keep this wait-and-see approach. We have a player that, even if it's using as a bargaining chip, saying that he wants to be here, and he has a connection with our young quarterback, which would just further cement that we are behind that young quarterback, go get him. Do it.
Casey, I love it. Appreciate you. 800-636-1067. There are a few guys on hold who want to tell me I'm wrong and stupid. I welcome that. I allow it. That's the beauty of this meeting. We can have a little repartee, a little back and forth. All right? One more segment on this. Then, I want to get into a couple different things that the show goes. Remember, your chance to win Fuji's tickets coming up at 5 o'clock. ESPN did one of their countdown lists. We'll talk about that at 3. But your call's next on this. If you're just tuning in, I think they've got to go do something. Something might be Brandon Ayuk. That's the one we're talking about now because he's requested a trade. I think the Local 53 has to upgrade tackle and wide receiver. They don't seem desperate. I am. What say you? Tell me I'm wrong. 800-636-1067. I want to remind you guys, the exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Kanduri and Morod, can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you to score yourself a great discount. That is kmlawyers.com. My contention is pretty simple. This front office, who I think is really good, really smart, on the same page, they're all pulling the rope in the same direction over Local 53. I like a lot of what they've done. I think this is a glaring miss. I think this is a... The most important thing they should have done this offseason was get Jaden Daniels. The second most important thing was ensure his success. And I don't think they've done that. They're pretty confident. I am not. Enter this Brandon Ayuk discussion. I think they need to go make a move. I think you've got to... If he's available, I think you have to win the bidding here. I know a lot of folks think I'm wrong. You're welcome to chime in and say that. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, tell me why I'm wrong, buddy.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, bud.
Danny, I'm so upset with you.
Like, please.
I cannot believe you, bro. Like, you acting like Dan, man. You're acting like Dan. Like, before this even took place, you were perfectly fine with the progression that we were making as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You were happy with the acquisitions that we made because we didn't spend a bunch of money, okay? We're trying to build a culture slash foundation with parts that seem to be capable of working together, okay? And then all of a sudden, we hear the rumblings of Ayuk being possibly available. Now we have to go make this move. That's crazy. Like, let's just think about it this way, okay? Mm-hmm. He was, the third, maybe the fourth option on that team who was run dominant with an incredible offensive scheme, okay? We don't exactly have those pieces here to be going out and giving up draft capital and paying this guy $30 million a year. I'm sorry, I just don't see the value there, not with what we're trying to do with a newly formed organization. And you say that you're looking for the guarantee? I mean, it's not a guarantee that he comes here and produces in the same fashion that he did there because the parts aren't even the same, nor is the scheming. So to be giving up so much capital and so much money for such a variable, I can't get with that, bro. You acting like Dan, man, and I'm surprised.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate you. So that, the acting like Dan part stings a little bit. I'm assuming he doesn't mean like investigations and harassing people, just like, you know, wanting better players on my football team. Here's my point. This is my governing principle. You need to draft a rookie quarterback. You have to do everything you can to make him successful. Of course, there's no guarantee that Brandon Ayuk would come over here and be as good as he was in San Francisco. You and I have different evals of him. I think he's a star. I think he's actually been held back by the fact they have too many weapons over there. and held back by the fact that they have leads and they're running the football down people's throats. I think that guy is a badass. I think he's a stud. And if you don't agree with that, that's totally reasonable. I don't think Grant's as high on him as I am, for example. But when you watch them play, I know Kyle Shanahan's scheming dudes open, but it's not like when he's absent, Juwan Jennings is going 5 for $125. It's not like when he's absent, some dude you never heard of is doing it. It's not like Mike Shanahan and running backs. Like, I think that guy is a 1,300-yard receiver with 7-8 touchdowns in most any offense. If you disagree, again, reasonable. But I want that. I need that on that wall with my rookie quarterback. Mike in Waldorf. Good afternoon, man. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Danny? Like always, I'm calling because I agree with you once again. I want to take it back a step further.
Mm-hmm.
The Johnny Newton or Mike Sanders still pick, in my opinion, during the draft, should have been A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. He was there for us. It would have been perfect. We would have drafted him, still saved some cap room, still saved some draft picks. So I'm still kind of hurt about that, but I turned the page.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was with possibly obtaining Ayuk if he was available and everything lined up. But the last couple of weeks, he's kind of thrown me off a little bit with the antics and kind of, you know, with the media and the social media. Some of that stuff kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I'm still old school when it comes to that type of stuff. The only caveat I would say is not Ayuk. If it were me, I would be knocking the door and kicking the tires on T. Higgins.
That's another option, Mike. I got a lot of guys on hold. It's a great call. Really appreciate it. And this is kind of my general point. If you don't like Ayuk, fine. Somebody. What I want is everyone on the same page as me recognizing, hey, we got a lot of uncertainty in that receiver room. It's Terry McLaurin and hope. I don't do that with my rookie quarterback. I'll do that with Pat Mahomes. I'll do it with Joe Burrow. I'll do it with Josh Allen. I mean, they're going to let Stephon Diggs go in Buffalo, right? And I don't think you have that many people going, what the hell are they going to do? Ah, you got Josh Allen. You got an all-pro quarterback who's knocking on the precipice of a championship. We'll find somebody for him. He'll make someone else better. Until you have that, you throw caution to the wind, and you do everything you possibly can to make the rookie quarterback successful. We've seen it too many times go the opposite way. Rami in Falls Church. What's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Is there?
I didn't agree with you to begin with, but you changed my mind.
Would you
I
look
think
at that?
You're right.
I think.
I know, it's pretty crazy. First time that's ever happened. Usually I just disagree with you and stay that way the whole way.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a new quarterback, and we better be more cautious and support him, because if he fails or has a hard time, that's going to affect the entire rest of the team. That's going to affect our tackles, our wide receivers. It's going to affect the entire team. So let's kind of pad our team a little bit and get that extra player, whether it's Ayuk or not. I like what Mike was saying, and it will kind of insulate our future. Appreciate you taking my call. Take it easy.
Thanks, Rami. That's not a four-handed compliment there, by the way. I usually just disagree with you and stay that way. I like that. I'll take it, Rami. I don't mind. Just means you're paying attention. And if I bother you so much that you stop listening, that's bad. But if you're like, I disagree with him, but I'd like to hear what he has to say, that's what we're all going for here. So again, I've got some pretty simple axioms to me. It's you need a rookie quarterback. You need to build your own. You don't get to go get someone else's trash. You don't do a Fitzpatrick. You don't do a Wentz. Never. Draft your own. And then you do everything you possibly can to support him. And once you've got the guy, now we can worry about everything else. I think that's a pretty reasonable axiom, by the way. I think it's a pretty reasonable way to go about your business. So if you don't like Ayuk, fine. Forget about Ayuk. Something. They've got to upgrade. They need to do everything they possibly can. No stone unturned to make sure that this kid is good. It makes everything else worthwhile. Because frankly, Trout and Ryan Fitzpatrick out there is a waste of time. Trout and Carson Wentz out there, Taylor Heineke out there is a waste of time. Your ceiling is only so high. I don't do that. I'm trying to win a championship here. And to do that, I need a stud quarterback that makes my team great. How do I get that? I give him some success early on. That's my view. 800-636-1067. I got an ESPN Top 100 list I want to get to, but more of your calls on this next. You guys are hot and heavy. You're either agreeing with me correctly, or you think I'm an nincompoop. I'll allow both. Weigh in here on the Fan. I want to remind you guys, The exclusive sponsor for our show, the law firm of Kanduri and Morrod, can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Andy sent you to score yourself a great discount. That is kmlawyers.com. My contention is pretty simple. This front office, who I think is really good, really smart, on the same page, they're all pulling the rope in the same direction, over Local 53, I like a lot of what they've done. I think this is a glaring miss. I think this is a... The most important thing they should have done this offseason was get Jaden Daniels. The second most important thing was ensure his success, and I don't think they've done that. They're pretty confident. I am not. Enter this Brandon Ayuk discussion. I think they need to go make a move. I think you've got to, if he's available, I think you have to win the bidding here. I know a lot of folks think I'm wrong. You're welcome to chime in and say that. Let's go to Mo in Largo. Mo, tell me why I'm wrong, buddy.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, bud.
Danny, I'm so upset with you.
Like, please.
I cannot believe you, bro. Like, you acting like Dan, man. You're acting like Dan. Like, before this even took place, you were perfectly fine with the progression that we were making as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
You were happy with the acquisitions that we made because we didn't spend a bunch of money, okay? We're trying to build a culture/foundation with parts that seem to be capable of working together, okay? And then all of a sudden, we hear the rumblings of Ayuk being possibly available. Now we have to go make this move. That's crazy. Like, let's just think about it this way, okay? Mm-hmm. He was, what, the third, maybe the fourth option on that team who was run dominant with an incredible offensive scheme, okay? We don't exactly have those pieces here to be going out and giving up draft capital and paying this guy $30 million a year. I'm sorry, I just don't see the value there, not with what we're trying to do with a newly formed organization. And you say that it's you're looking for the guarantee. I mean, it's not a guarantee that he comes here and produces in the same fashion that he did there, because the parts aren't even the same, nor is the scheming. So to be giving up so much capital and so much money for such a variable, I can't get with that, bro. You acting like Dan, man, and I'm surprised.
Thank you, Mo. Appreciate you. So that, the acting like Dan part stings a little bit. I'm assuming he doesn't mean like the investigations and harassing people, just like, you know, wanting better players on my football team. Here's my point. This is my governing principle. You need to draft a rookie quarterback. You have to do everything you can to make him successful. Of course, there's no guarantee that Brandon Ayuk would come over here and be as good as he was in San Francisco. You and I have different evals of him. I think he's a star. I think he's actually been held back by the fact they have too many weapons over there, and held back by the fact that they have leads and they're running the football down people's throats. I think that guy is a badass. I think he's a stud. And if you don't agree with that, that's totally reasonable. I don't think Grant's as high on him as I am, for example. But when you watch them play, I know Kyle Shanahan's scheming dudes open, but it's not like when he's absent, Juwan Jennings is going 5 for $125. It's not like when he's absent, some dude you never heard of is doing it. It's not like Mike Shanahan and running backs. Like, I think that guy is a 1,300-yard receiver with 7-8 touchdowns in most any offense. If you disagree, again, reasonable, but I want that. I need that on that wall with my rookie quarterback. Mike in Waldorf. Good afternoon, man. You're on the fan.
Hey, what's up, Danny? Like always, I'm calling because I agree with you once again. I want to take it back a step further.
Mm-hmm.
The Johnny Newton or Mike Sanders still pick, in my opinion, during the draft, should have been A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. He was there for us. It would have been perfect. We would have drafted him, still saved some cap room, still saved some draft picks. So I'm still kind of hurt about that, but I turned the page.
Mm-hmm.
And initially I was with possibly obtaining Ayuk if he was available and everything lined up. But the last couple of weeks, he's kind of thrown me off a little bit with the antics and kind of, you know, with the media and the social media. Some of that stuff kind of rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I'm still old school when it comes to that type of stuff. The only caveat I would say is, not Ayuk. If it were me, I would be knocking the door and kicking the tires on T. Higgins.
That's another option, Mike. I got a lot of guys on hold. It's a great call. Really appreciate it. And this is kind of my general point. If you don't like Ayuk, fine. Somebody. What I want is everyone on the same page as me recognizing, hey, we got a lot of uncertainty in that receiver room. It's Terry McLaurin and hope. I don't do that with my rookie quarterback. I'll do that with Pat Mahomes. I'll do it with Joe Burrow. I'll do it with Josh Allen. I mean, they're going to let Stephon Diggs go in Buffalo, right? And I don't think you have that many people going, what the hell are they going to do? Ah, you got Josh Allen. You got an all-pro quarterback who's knocking on the precipice of a championship. We'll find somebody for him. He'll make someone else better. Until you have that, you throw caution to the wind, and you do everything you possibly can to make the rookie quarterback successful. We've seen it too many times go the opposite way. Rami in Falls Church. What's up, man? You're on The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Is there?
I didn't agree with you to begin with, but you changed my mind.
What'd you look
I think
at that?
You're right.
I'll allow it.
I know. It's pretty crazy. First time that's ever happened. Usually I just disagree with you and stay that way the whole way.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's a new quarterback, and we better be more cautious and support him, because if he fails or has a hard time, that's going to affect the entire rest of the team. That's going to affect our tackles and our wide receivers. It's going to affect the entire team. So let's kind of pad our team a little bit and get that extra player, whether it's Ayuk or not. I like what Mike was saying, and it will kind of insulate our future. Appreciate you taking my call. Take it easy.
Thanks, Rami. That's not a four-handed compliment there, by the way. I usually just disagree with you and stay that way. I like that. I'll take it, Rami. I don't mind. Just means you're paying attention. And if I bother you so much that you stop listening, that's bad. But if you're like, I disagree with him, but I'd like to hear what he has to say, that's what we're all going for here. So again, I've got some pretty simple axioms to me. It's you need a rookie quarterback. You need to build your own. You don't get to go get someone else's trash. You don't do a Fitzpatrick. You don't do a Wentz. Never. Draft your own. And then you do everything you possibly can to support him. And once you've got the guy, now we can worry about everything else. I think that's a pretty reasonable axiom, by the way. I think it's a pretty reasonable way to go about your business. So if you don't like Ayuk, fine. Forget about Ayuk. Something. They've got to upgrade. They need to do everything they possibly can. No stone unturned to make sure that this kid is good. It makes everything else worthwhile. Because frankly, Trotting Ryan Fitzpatrick out there is a waste of time. Trotting Carson Wentz out there, Taylor Heineke out there is a waste of time. Your ceiling is only so high. I don't do that. I'm trying to win a championship here. And to do that, I need a stud quarterback that makes my team great. How do I get that? I give him some success early on. That's my view. 800-636-1067. I got an ESPN Top 100 list I want to get to, but more of your calls on this next. You guys are hot and heavy. You're either agreeing with me correctly, or you think I'm a nincompoop. I'll allow both. Weigh in here on The Fan.